Mark chapter 6, please. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Let's all stand, please. We'll read together just a couple of verses to begin with. Lots of other verses are in your notes. I said this morning in Sunday school, the Sunday school this morning was just an introduction to why we're Baptist. We're not Baptist because we're weird or we grew up this way or we don't know what else to do with ourselves. Hopefully, we actually believe in the Baptist distinctives. Tonight is nothing like that. So everyone look at me. I'm glad you're here. Tonight will get in your life. It'll get in your space. It'll get in your hair. And some of you will not like me by the end of this service. So just be ready. I decided 4, 5, 6 months ago to speak on the subject of spiritual disciplines. I asked 3 men to teach on it. I like all 3 guys. None of them have taught on it. So it's up to me. I have noticed that something is fundamentally lacking in our church. And it's things that should have been learned the first year of Christianity. And if they're not learned, please look at me, friend. If they're not learned, you just stumble and bumble along as a Christian for decades. So tonight, there's one word for the 3 or 4 in this room that are driven by this. This is not about guilt. I'm not interested in anybody feeling guilty. I'm actually interested in one thing. Over the next 8, 10, or 12 weeks, I'm going to talk about the basic disciplines of grace. I'm going to do 3 of them on in the book because we are a religion of the Bible. Tonight will be the first one. Next week will be on the subject of, how do I title it? In the study. The 3rd week will be on the subject of meditation. And yes, I expect you to be here, but that's not what I'm interested in. Folks, if we don't do this, we are seeing the results in churches and in lives of people that have the superficiality of Christianity. But the moment you touch them, there's nothing there but religious talk. There doesn't seem to be the normal disciplines of grace. So 3 of them, I got them up in my office, they're written, they're ready to go, are going to be on in the book. Then we're going to talk about being on your knees, the subject of prayer. And then we'll talk about with the body and what we do as a church. And then we'll talk about for the world. Those 4 subjects, the disciplines of grace. Mark 6, Jesus is, of course, working, teaching, preaching. Verse 30 says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and do what? Rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place, and desert is right but wrong. Desert is not desert, guys. Thank you, Frenchie, for informing us. Desert doesn't mean sand. It means a place where you're by yourself. Solitude. Alone time. Verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he was come out, saw much people. By the way, they're trying to find a place to get alone, and people are flocking them. So I already hear it, Pastor Warren, Pastor Warren, Pastor Warren, I'm too. Go ahead and tell me the word. Come on, tell me the word. Too busy. Actually, you're missing the point. If you're that busy, that's when you need it the most. We continue reading. He saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a what? This is a deserted place, and now the time is far past." We're going to look tonight at very simple idea, quiet time and place. And you cannot have one without the other. Please look at me, friend. This morning I hammered home, I hope. Jesus did not suggest to you and me to have your closet in which you do this. Look at me. You exit where you are physically. Do you understand? Physically exit, enter someplace, shut the door, and isolate yourself. That wasn't a religious talk. You are not going to do this gabbing on the phone, looking at your gizmo on your wrist, answering text messages. There has to come a place where you get out of the rat race and get alone. That's all we're talking about tonight. And friend, when we're done, next Sunday night when I come back, I probably should have a quiz, and here's the quiz. Where's your time and place? Where are your times and places? Because if you don't have them, everything we're doing tonight is wasting your time right now. You might as well just go back to fidgeting like most Americans. All right, we're going to talk about a quiet time and place. This is the first portion of In the Book. Father, help me. I guess this burdens me too much. How many times do I need to preach on the same subjects? So, Lord, I'm going to try to bring all this together for all of our benefit, where we get the ideas of these are those disciplines that we must discipline into our lives. As we said last Sunday night, and Steve Tupper said in the Wednesday night Bible study, we either have to start or restart our life. No guilt, no games, no religion, just that relationship with Christ. Help it to be so, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I received some very good counsel from a friend of mine recently. I won't say his name, but it was good counsel. People oftentimes come to me and say, "Pastor, I have a question for you." And they want to ask for advice. And my friend now has, this is his standard response. Everybody look at me. This is his standard response. Is the baby born yet? When I heard it, I'm like, what? He says, "Ralph, it's simple. When people come to you for advice, you want to know if they've already made up their mind before you give them advice. It's like a baby. If a baby's born, you may not say the baby's ugly." Yes or no? So if the baby's born, never give advice. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, if the baby's not born, you might be able to help them in life. But if the choice and decision's already been made, well, unfortunately, my first story starts with that. And it has nothing to do with the text tonight except the idea. A guy came to me many years ago starting a new job. Starting the new job, he was very nervous. He was new at this. He had a lot of fear of failure, maybe fear of being embarrassed. There were new people, new procedures, new situations. So he came to me and he asked this question. "Pastor Warren, what can you tell me? What kind of advice can you give me?" Now, friend, maybe you don't know me, but with age, I give less and less advice. I almost never give advice, including people that say I have given them advice. Because why? The baby? The baby's already born, and if the baby's ugly, I'm not going to tell you the baby's ugly, because that's not safe. So I don't give advice. But I was younger then. He just asked me a simple question. What can you tell me to help me on my job? So here's me thinking, well, I know what I would do if I was starting a new job. Are you ready? Here was my advice. Well, if you have the job, this is my I only have three or four things to tell you. Number one, show up without fail. Number two, show up on time. Mr. Haas, Anader, Junior, either one, what's on time when showing up for a job? 15 minutes early, thank you. So show up on time, 15 minutes early. Yes or no, folks? Everybody that ever gets in trouble on a job is trying to get there. You have to be there at 7 a.m. and you're trying to get there at 6:59.59. Show up early, 15 minutes at least. And then I said, show up with a good attitude. And show up, this is a real deep one, ready to do what? To work. Folks, you would have thought I spoke Polish to this guy. He looked at me. He was not interested in that advice. I'm not sure what he was looking for. If you come to me tonight after I asked you, is the baby born? And you say, I'm going to start a new job, I'm going to tell you the same thing. Show up. Scott, do you have people that work for you? Do you appreciate it when they show up? How do you appreciate it when they don't show up? A counseling session. I like that. Dave doesn't have any employees because they never show up, do they, Dave? By the way, friend, show up. Show up on time, which means early. Show up with a good attitude. Well, I tell you all of that because it's humorous, but it's not funny, because people will come to me and they want to know, Pastor Warren, what should I know? What should I learn? I'm saved. I'm baptized. I'm a member of the church. Where do I start? Here it is, friend. Here is the first step after salvation. A quiet place and a quiet time. And I can't give you any other advice. Until you can discipline yourself to have a quiet space, and a quiet time, you know what? You're not going to go very far in your Christian life. 10, 15, 30 years later, people will meet you and you're just like, you're still complaining about living at Waukegan? You're still complaining about the weather 20 years later? Nothing has changed? Well, the reason is this all goes back to the first place to start is a quiet place and time, or a quiet time and place. I don't care what order it's in. Well, that's a real big deal. In your notes, I asked the question, what does this mean? And friend, that's what we're going to do tonight, going to answer that question. What does this look like? Number one, I'm only going to pronounce or speak the last part. A quiet a time and place has to be, first of all, outside the race, outside of what you are doing, outside of the norm. I think some people want to have a quiet time and a quiet space, you know, when they're watching TV, talking on the phone, looking. And by the way, I asked my wife, and if you have one, I'm not mad at you, how many more gizmos do we have that tell us people are texting us, emailing us? Maybe you should just get a big thing that goes, eep, eep, eep. You're talking to somebody at lunch. They keep looking at their watch. They keep looking at their phone. You'd think we're working for the president. You've got to do this. Get outside the race and find that quiet place and time. Every single one of us. And by the way, look at me. Nothing to do with how smart you are, dumb you are, educated you are, uneducated. None of that matters. All of us, by God's grace, can find a place and time that is quiet outside the race. Look what Jesus says. And the Greek is there intentionally. It's there so intentionally, you can't believe how intentional it is. Look what it says. Mark 6:31. And he said unto them. Now, if you're reading the ESV, it's right, but dead wrong. 100% wrong. By the way, even the King James is not accurate here. Because the Greek, look at me, friend, does something in this text that is not found any place in the New Testament except one place, right here. It almost reminds me of what my mother would do to me as a kid. When I was, when I was listening to her. I would say my wife does that to me now, but I always listen to my wife. No amens? No anything? Look what Jesus says. Come, ye yourselves apart and into a desert place. You have to come apart, outside the race, to this place and this time that is quiet. Under the verses, I say this, and the Greek is there with English intentionally. This is one of, and I believe it is the only one, in the entire 27 books of the New Testament. It is the strongest command in the Bible. Look at me, friend. I know you never had to do this with your children. And wives, you never have to do this with your husband. But it's almost insanity. The first word is the word come, which in Greek is the word dute. Now, I don't want to bore anybody. Pandak, you speak a little Spanish? You speak a lot of Spanish. When you say something in Spanish, if I were just going to say, if I said to you, trabajas, that means what? I could say, trabajas hoy. Do you work today? Correct? But I don't have the word you there because the you is part of the what? It's part of the verb. Is that right, Rolando? By the way, Greek is the same way. I'm sorry to bore you guys with details. English, you have to have a pronoun. Spanish, you don't have to have the pronoun. Greek, you definitely don't have to have the pronoun because the pronoun is built into the verb. So the verb says this. Look at me. You come apart. That's the command. And then in case you didn't get it, it puts the emphatic pronoun, humes. So it's like this. You all come apart. You all. But he doesn't even stop there. Then he has the word altois. So it's like this. You all come apart. Hey, you all. And then he says, yourself. And then even the King James doesn't translate something. Because it's like four times he says the same thing. I can only tell you it reminds me of what my mother would have to do with me. And it usually ended up with this. Ralph, do something. Did I listen? And it eventually got to when you heard Ralph Lee Warren. That was the death knell. You knew that life was about to end because she gave your whole proper name. Friends, Jesus, look at me, please. Don't get lost. I think there's folks that have been in our church my whole time nearly that still just live their life in a fluffy little way, complaining and whining, and we never do so. Jesus takes you by the throat and says, you, yourself, you all, by yourself, come apart. This is no thing you do. You say, well, I'm just busy. He's not interested in your excuses. So here it is. It is a quiet place and time, or a quiet time and place, I don't care which direction, outside the race. You've got to do it. We'll continue. Did I say that emphatically enough? I did exactly what Jesus did in the text. I say again, it's the only place it's found in the whole Bible. So I'm thinking he's real serious about this. Mark 6:32. And they parted into a desert place by ship. Actually, the last two words that are untranslated, kat idion, which have the idea of doing something yourself or by yourself, is found also in verse 32, the same phrase. Verse 35, finally, it says, they say to him, this is a desert place, meaning a deserted place or a solitary place, a place without people. He's not talking about sand. He's talking about a place without people, deserted. In your notes, the race is called life. What does life consist of? Friend, you got to get outside this race because life consists of things like this: jobs, family, responsibilities, friends, organizations, church, busyness, running to and fro in all the 10,000 things we're doing. So the whole point is, you and I have this thing called life. It's a race. And sometimes we've got to get outside of that race. And Jesus takes us by the throat and says, get over here. Because, friend, if you stay in that, it eats you up. You become less of a person 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years. It bothers me when someone told me recently they went to a wedding and sat by somebody that was full of themselves 20 years ago, and the whole world revolves around them and their emotions, and 20 years later, the only thing the person can talk about is, that's a person that's never gotten outside the race. They're right in the middle of the muck. Now, please look. Hey. I am not talking about how smart you think you are or not. This is not about any of that. This is about every Christian, everyone. We continue. So this is called life. What does it consist of? Well, I've already given you what it consists of. Some things: jobs, families, responsibilities, friends, organizations, church, service, anything. And then I say, and then there is the noise. There is the noise. And I say this and I hate it. I learned this word 2 weeks ago, or I caught this phrase in a book, and I hate this phrase, but I'm afraid it's true. It's not just noise, and especially I say our addiction to noise. Some of us cannot live without noise. We have to have noise. Noise. Friends, the Bible wants us to have quiet. Quiet. You know what most people do when it gets too quiet? They turn something on. And if they can't turn something on, they go to sleep. Friend, I'm not saying it has to be quiet 24 hours a day. No, there's time for noise, conversation, all that's life. But you get outside of that. Our addiction to noise, I believe, has caused us what we've seen on Facebook. Seeing a young lady that used to come to this church railing and hating people. And I'm like, does this person have no ability to get outside of this and think? And the answer is, we're too caught up in the race. Next in your notes, and of course, and these are connected, then there's those things called screens. So, what does this look like? I'm going to give you a lot of suggestions. We'll be looking at this in various ways over the next few weeks. In various ways. It's, first of all, starts with this. You have to have a time. Or if I can say to all of you, it doesn't have to be a time, it can be more than one time. I'm not telling you it has to be 5 minutes, 50 minutes, 30 minutes. Have you noticed? No legalism here. You and I have a life. You've got to get outside and let the Lord bring you outside, outside of that race, to this quiet place and time, and you have to have an actual time. So you should be able to tell me at the end of this week, after you begin developing this discipline, what are your times that you are alone with you and God in Scripture and prayer? What are your times? It could, like I say, it doesn't have to be one time. It doesn't have to be a certain length of time. You don't have to do it for 4 hours a day. Actually, if you do the 4 hours a day, that makes me nervous. I say in your notes, there is no need for extreme lengths of time. Use, and this is so obvious, use the naturally occurring times. Everybody in this room has naturally occurring times that we can be alone. Forgive me, I'm not trying to be crude. I'm assuming you take a shower. I got a few people that aren't shaking their head yes. I'm also assuming when you take a shower, you are, my friend, your time, brushing your teeth, I'm assuming you do that. Taking a shower, cleaning up is a beautiful time, 5, 10, 50, for some of us 2 hours, however long it takes, according to how big your body is, you'd spend that time. Look at me. Don't turn noise on. Don't let your mind bounce. That's a quiet time. Another quiet time is when you first wake up. Another quiet time is when you go to bed. One of my favorite quiet times is walking. That's the reason I walk at night. Now, sometimes I would say about 50% of the time I talk to people. It's one of my favorite times to have conversations. You wouldn't want to be in the conversation because they're not, you know, we're not talking about how we feel and what we're eating. But I like being alone. Use the naturally occurring times. Bedtime, rising, break times at work. How about this, friend? How about this? Look at me. Is it possible to get in your car without turning noise on? Cars are a great place. And oftentimes you can even pull into a place, if you're going to go to Walmart or something, pull in. And by the way, don't pull up close. You need to walk. Pull up way out someplace where you have to walk a half a mile. That way you have already done 2,000 steps by going in and out. Wow. Park out there, spend 5 minutes just reading the scripture, and then walk in. It's these naturally occurring times. Next, you also obviously require a place. It's got to be a time and a place. You cannot do this in religious land. You've got to determine your places. Now, this morning, Jesus talks about your closet. He talks about what? Entering into the closet. He talks about closing the door and with the implication of locking it. I don't know if you need a space like that. Now, if you have little kids, good luck. I saw one of my favorite pictures, and I don't know why it reminded me of Emily, and her children are perfect, so I know it couldn't be your children. But the poor mother getting in the bathroom to get away from the kids for 5 minutes, and it showed a picture of the kids with their head down at the crack by the door with two dogs right down there with them, waiting for mom to come out. I get that. By the way, mothers are very busy people. Wait a minute. But see, that doesn't help you just by blowing this off. You've still got to find a time and a place, or better, times and places. You say, I see two young ladies going back to college. College ruins a lot of people, young ladies, because they get caught up in all the and the next thing, the very thing that your parents sent you there for, besides the good education, was the good relationship with the Lord, is out the window because you're too busy. You probably don't have time to read the collected works of John Owens when you're at Bob Jones, Brenna. But you know what? You do have times and places to spend time with God in quiet. Everybody's got to find them, no matter who you are. Everybody, in your notes. So it takes both a time or times and a place. Think of this as your escape rooms or your escape spaces. And the idea is not to say, it's not this, you kids are going to drive me crazy. And then you run off and slam the door. That's not quiet time and place. What we're talking is this, friend. You're in this process of just going down a path. And when you're going through life, you have those times and places where you just step outside. Look at me, friend. Do this. Maybe it's 5 minutes. Maybe it's 10 minutes. Maybe it's 30. You catch a breath. You read some scripture. You meditate. You pray. You start praying through a list. And then what? You're right back in the race again. And then a little bit later, you have another place that you step over to outside that race. It's an in and out, an in and out, and you've got to do it. You've got to do it. I know, no matter who I talk to, everybody is so busy they can't even think. I will say this. I've only met one other person that's been any busier than the guy you're looking at when I went to Bible college. I only know one other. There's probably more. I will think Justin Vasilovich was as busy as me. He worked a full-time job, and he went to school full-time, and that's what I did. But I still had to find the times. And by the way, and they were small times. You have to find the times to get outside that race in that quiet place and time. In your notes, these are the references in Mark to a deserted place, or if you prefer, a solitary place. Guess where John the Baptist did his ministry? In the wilderness, but it's the same word, in the desert or the deserted place. Mark 1:4, he did baptize, of course, in that same place, in the deserted place, the wilderness. Mark 1:12, and immediately the Spirit driveth him, Jesus, into the wilderness, into a deserted place. Mark 1:13, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days. But it's not wilderness like wild beast. He's talking about where there weren't people. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into what? A solitary place. Mark 1:45, but he was without in a desert place. And they came unto him from every quarter. But the whole idea is Jesus went through life and he could step out and then step back in. Step out, step back in. Step out and step back in. You can read the verses. Under the verses, I have these are the elements of establishing a quiet place and time outside the race. You got to have times, you got to have places, you have to have a rhythm. There has to be this inherent rhythm to your life. Friend, if you miss tomorrow, look at me. I try to lift weights. I try to walk. I'm not the best walker. I'm not the perfect person when it comes to routines. I try to walk. I've been trying to walk at least 4 miles a day. Is that a lot of walking? For an old man, that's a lot of walking. And when I say 4 miles a day, under an hour, I'm talking about, for an old guy, humping. What if I miss tomorrow? I hit a Tuesday. What do you do? Quit? No. It's a rhythm. And anytime you have a rhythm, sometimes you miss the rhythm, but you get right back in the rhythm. My friend, all of us have to have this quiet time and place outside the race, but not to go hibernate and not to say, oh, I'm so stressed out. No, that's where you catch your breath and then you get back in the race. Has to be a rhythm. Lastly, just some good old-fashioned obedience. As we have already said, come is a command. It means to come apart or to come away. Ye is humes. So he's twice telling you, you all come apart. And then he says, yourself. He adds the other word. By the way, the ESV leaves all of this out. Why? Because it's very cumbersome English. English never says anything like this. But friend, neither does Greek. It seems to me like Jesus is just pounding us on the head. Four different ways telling us, you must have a quiet time and place. You do it yourself, by yourself. Get outside of the race. Have those times and places. Have a rhythm. And actually, how about this? Obey. No guilt, no excuses, no conversation. Just do it. Next page. And unfortunately, I cannot even blame this on Frenchie. I'd like to blame this on Frenchie, but I cannot. We have in this passage, unfortunately, you can't hardly read it. I say this, number two, it's a quiet time and place before God's face. So what we're talking about is not, let me say it this way, what we're talking about is not trying to get out of life. What I want to do is just do nothing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about we have all that we're supposed to be doing. We come apart. But when we come apart, it's not to do nothing or to veg. I hear a lot of people say, I just vegged last night. I think in the last 25 years that I've been here, I might have vegged one or two nights. How do you veg? That's the most boring thing I've ever tried to do nothing. How do you veg? I know there are people that watch Netflix for like 12 hours in a row. I start having my brain just goes crazy. How do you do that? You want to explain boredom? That is boredom. What I'm talking about is get out of the race before God's face. This is not a trick. This is a way of getting out of that race before God's face. It's about you and God. Remember this morning, this is about a relationship. Getting saved is not about not going to hell. Getting saved is about having a relationship with God that lasts forever. It's about that relationship. In your notes, you see this in Mark 6:45. In verse 46, he says, when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. Matthew 6:1, we've already read this the last two Sunday mornings. Give what to your Father which is in heaven. Thine alms may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret. Pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret. Verse 8 says, for your Father knoweth. Verse 18 says, for thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I mean, friend, this is a time to get out of the race before God's face. This is the whole idea of a quiet time and place. In your notes, I said some of this morning. Some of you will recognize pieces of this. Religion, and we're going to go down the list of religion first. Religion is almost always this. It's external. In all forms of religion, what people do is religion, is external. How do you know? You ever notice somebody, maybe you don't see it, they haven't been in church for a while because they've been doing whatever it is they do, and they come back and they feel guilty. That is a person dominated by external religion. Why would you feel guilty? If you're doing right, you would never have a reason to feel guilty. Guilt is not part of Christianity. Guilt is part of religion. You do things to be seen. Did everybody notice? But see, that's not what we're talking about here. So one of the reasons so many, by the way, look at me, if you grew up around religion, Billy Baptist stuff, and a lot of other kinds, you struggle because everything is the performance. And what we're talking about here has nothing to do with the performance. We're talking about you and a relationship with the living God, getting outside the race before God's face. Nobody's going to know, at least immediately, in your notes. Religion is external. It's to be seen or known by people. It's ritualistic, like the sign of the cross, and I'm not picking on any group. See, here's what's funny. Baptists will pick on Catholics, but they don't see it in their own life. When a person just does this, are they thinking? Religion is always external, always. It's so other people know about it. And it tends to be a ritual. And next, it's very formal. So you know what's expected, and you do that so you're accepted in the little group. On the other side, biblical Christianity is personal. I don't like this term, but I'm going to use it anyhow. It's God in me. Let me say it another way. Amy sent me a picture. Jenny, I don't know if she sent it to you too. I was upstairs and it came over. It's a funny picture. They were watching this morning on Facebook Live, and they were watching me. And Amy took a picture of Jesse looking at me, but Jesse couldn't quite figure out how he could see Grandpa, but Grandpa wouldn't talk to him. So I'm speaking and Jesse's looking. Because Jesse's used to it. Look at me. It's Jesse. Well, I would like to say it's Jesse and me, but Jesse only likes me a little bit. Jesse only likes one person on earth a lot. He can only say one word. It's supposed to be Oma, but he makes it out to be Moma. And that's his only word, Moma. He doesn't say Bumpa. He just says Moma. But it was so funny watching him, and I'm thinking, look at me, friend. That's what we're talking. If you're into religion, and you know if you are, everything is external. Checking boxes, not feeling guilty, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about you getting out of the race to come before his face. It's a personal thing. It's you and God. It's the only reason I'm a Christian. I'm not a religious type. I'm not interested in the religion. My goodness, friend, to whom do you pray? To who do you have a relationship with? We continue. Biblical Christianity is personal. It's God and me. It's to be seen and known by God, not seen and known by others. I would say Christianity is spontaneous or instinctive. And it's rhythmic, very rhythmic. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 30, verse 7 in your notes. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Now let's translate that into modern English, please. Facebook, TikTok, whatever the latest stupid app is, will help to no avail. Look at me, you know what it'll do? We're addicted to noise. So here's our problem. We're going through life. Hey, I hope we're all Christians. But we never get outside of the race, and we don't understand this is a thing about us and God. So what we do is we fill our life with all of this stuff. And it satisfies us for how long? About how long does the new app satisfy you? How long does it help you? For a short time. And then it's back to life, and then you got to be looking for a new toy, a new device, a new addiction. It's the eternal searching for addictions. It's weird. Have you heard the latest song? That's okay when you're 12. When you're 60? Have you watched the latest movie? Wow! I'm not opposed to you watching a movie. It's a dumb movie! By the way, it will not help you in life at all. Because this is what will help you in life. Look at me. Not running to the Egyptians. Look at the text. Isaiah 30, verse 7. The Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried into concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Isaiah 30, verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Unfortunately, he also says, and you would not. Isaiah 7, verse 3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and his poor son's name, Sherajashbut, whatever that is. And at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him. So God is telling Isaiah to go meet the king. And he tells the king, take heed and do what? By the way, do you think the king liked that advice? Look at me. Here's my question. Is the baby born? Have you already committed yourself that you're not going to obey God? If you have, then please don't be persuaded by me. But if you're a Christian, and again, this isn't about guilt because this isn't about external. This is about your health over a lifetime. Your health over a lifetime is going to resolve to one thing, quiet times and places. Outside the race, before his face. Let's keep reading. So you go tell O Ahaz, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up to Judah and vex it. And let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. I mean, folks, these people had got together, and they're going to come down to Judah, and they're going to replace the king, and they even have a replacement. And what does God tell Ahaz? Take heed. Be quiet. Fear not. Do you think he liked that? Not one bit. Psalm 46:10. Be what? Lastly, everyone look at me. I'm done. You know, everything I'm going to say is three phrases. You and I, this is not a suggestion. It's not an invitation. It's not if you feel guilty or don't feel guilty. It is a direct command from the Lord Jesus to you. You must come apart for a quiet time and place outside the race. You don't stay there. It's this kind of a thing. You are going to have to find your own. You understand? I'm not going to tell you when you do yours. I'm going to recommend you have several. One's from 1 minute long to 5 minutes to 15 minutes. And if you have freedom, I know everybody's busy. I would have longer ones. But my friend, you've got to get outside of the race. You've got to get before his face. And what are you looking for? I have it in your notes. For some grace. You need the grace of God to survive. You must get outside this race. You don't need more apps, more noise, more toys, more bells, more whistles, more calling you back into this nonsense. You need to be able to get outside, quiet, a place and a time, shut that door, lock that door, even if it's for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. You need to be able to become still in your heart and in your mind. You need to be able to read some scripture or hear some scripture. You need to be able to pray and then open the door, get back in the race until later in the day you have another place where you step out in another place in time and you get what? Before God's face for some grace. And now, when I say for some grace, I'm not using religious language. The grace of God is what saves you, not you yourself. And it's the grace of God is your only hope, which means this, his divine enabling in your life. Read the verses with me, would you? Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find what? Grace to help in time of need. Friend, you're stressing out, you're worried sick, your mind is restless, when all you need to do is get outside the race before his face and pray to the Father and receive some grace. Acts 20, verse 32. Beautiful verse. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his what? You see, friend, our primary tools are prayer and the Word, and both of them are sources of the grace of God. Why? Because in 1 Peter 5, but the God of all grace, that's who God is, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. After that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have in this text the solution. Proverbs 27:7 is a very important verse. I don't want to distract us from what we're talking about today, so I'll do this briefly. Now, everyone look at me. Do you understand how simple what I just said tonight? Here it is. You're in a race. Yes or no? You, yourself, by yourself, must get outside the race. You've got to find times and places and a rhythm, and you've got to obey. This isn't about religion, fear, guilt, and all the goofball stuff that we get into. Which, by the way, I can always tell guilty people, too, because they're guilty, and about 15 minutes later, the guilt's gone, and they're right back to the stupidity they did before. You must come before his face, and you must come for some grace. The full soul. I had some money set aside for our vacation this summer. Obviously, we didn't go. You say, why? They wouldn't let us go to Belize. And if we went there, we'd be quarantined for 2 weeks. The vacation. So when the Quelos came, my money, not your money, took them down to a cheap restaurant. Not. Now, you understand, there's Jenny and I, and then there's two of them, that's four, and then there's three kids. When you go to Fogo de Chão with that many people, you better have money. Went to Fogo de Chão. Say, did you like it? Yeah, once every 2 or 3 years, it's nice. Past that, I don't need it. Why am I telling you this? When you get done with Fogo de Chao, are you hungry? What if they say, would you like some dessert? What I'd like is another body. On, don't even ask about Fogo de Chao. You're never going to Fogo de Chao. I cannot see you at Fogo de Chao, On. Yeah, right. It only costs $50 to $75 during the day, and it costs over $100 at night. And An couldn't eat $100 worth of food in a month. So what would be the point? Yeah. Now, I'm going someplace. Look at the verse. The full soul does what? Do you know what loathe means? It's like, yuck. You can bring the best dessert on earth after you've eaten at Fogo de Chao, and the last thing you ever want is food. What happens if a Christian is always hungry, look at me, and never, ever, ever gets outside the race before God's face for some grace? It is amazing the filth they eat. But to the hungry soul, every bitter, nasty thing they eat. You know what I'm going to recommend to you? Find your place, places, find your times, get out of the race, here, there. By the way, every day in a rhythmic way, before God's face, this isn't about, I came to church so I don't feel guilty. See, that's religion. It's not Christianity. And, my friend, do it for some grace. When my heart's full of the grace of God, I'm never hungry. How about you? I should be able to look at you day after day after day and know this. That person, they're not interested in filth and bitterness and garbage. Why? Because they're filled with the grace of God. Father, thank you for this time tonight. These ideas are very simple, but they are the Christian life. May you speak to us tonight. Seal these truths to our heart. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.